If you have a Bible, I want to ask you to open it up to James chapter 3. All right? James chapter 3. If you don't have one, we have some back here in the back, and you can get one and read along with us, okay? So James chapter 3. We have been talking about the power of words, right? You guys remember that? So the first week, what did we talk about? Anybody remember? Power of words, first week. There you go. All right, gossip, right? So gossiping, we don't need to gossip, tearing down people, talking about them behind their back. What was the second week, last week? There you go. All right. Man, you guys are nailing it. Appreciate that. All right, so yes, exactly. We talked about encouragement. Did anybody have an opportunity this week where you got to encourage someone else to do the right thing, to do what's right, that they were doing a great job? Hannah? Gym class? Very cool. All right. Awesome. So tonight we are going to continue, and tonight we are going to talk about crude language. Oh, snap. Okay. Yeah, so Ella and Mariah, like, put together a cool, like, rap song kind of thing. They got the beat, and I don't know. It was awesome. So they, if you want to find out and have it, like, stuck in your head for the next 2 days, ask them. They'll sing it for you. It's amazing. Okay. She should sing it now? Is that what I'm hearing? Mariah, do you want to sing it now? Ella? We're calling you. Ella's coming. She's walking down the center aisle. Dun, 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 dun. We're talking about your song. So if you want to sing your song, the crude language song. It's rated G, by the way, everyone. So crude language song. Oh, you need to rehearse. Yikes. Okay. All right, so I want to talk to you about that game that we played, okay? So anybody think that was like a funny game, watching other people drink? So anybody that played not think it was a funny game, right? Okay, you're like, what? All right. So with that game, all right, basically there were cups, and the majority of them had sugar water in them, all right? Yeah, so there was sugar in it with water. Then there were some that were salty, okay? And so basically it was try your luck and see if you can pick the sugar one or if you pick the salt one that you can try and keep a straight face, all right? Madison? What? Oh, okay, never mind. All right, so here's the thing. Our words can have a similar effect upon people, where we can have good words most of the time, but have you ever had somebody just, like, explode on you or, like, cuss you out or something like that? And then from that point on, you kind of see them through this lens of, like, this is the guy that cussed me out one time, or this is the guy. Right, so these guys, when you have that kind of interaction, they can be nice a lot of the time, but when you see that exposed, it really opens your eyes up to what kind of person they are, right? So tonight we're going to talk about our words and how they have the power to reveal what's going on inside of us, okay? Do you guys have your song? Are you ready to go? Yes? Okay. This is the group Morella, okay? Me, me, me. Here's me.
Wait, do we just like tell the lyrics first?
However you want to do it. C R. I mean, whatever. Go for it. Nice. Boom. Mic drop, right? Okay. Corridor. Yeah. All right. We're going to get them to record it or something. It'll be amazing. All right. Well, I want to read for you a passage in the book of Ephesians, okay? Ephesians is a fantastic book. If you've never read it before, it's six chapters, not too long. Here's a verse from it that is kind of encompass what we're talking about tonight. It says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it." This kind of goes back and recaps what we have talked about, as well as what we're going to talk about, in that don't let anything come out of your mouth that's corrupt. Don't let anything come out. Don't be talking in a way that tears people down, but rather in a way that encourages and lifts people up to be involved in what God is doing, okay? That your words need to be sweet to the ears of the people around you. So, I want to ask you tonight, as we're studying, to look at your words, how you talk to people, and evaluate them, okay? Evaluate, how do I talk to other people? What do people that don't really know me but get to see what I say, what do they probably think of me due to my words? And then think about, what does the way you speak reveal about who you are? Okay? That's what I want you to think about. Let's pray and ask God to help show us that. God, tonight as we study, we ask that you would teach us, that we would be good students who would listen to what your word says and then to put it into action. God, help us to look at our words and see what they reveal in our heart. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right. Cool. So if you remember 2 weeks ago, we read out of James chapter 3, the beginning section of it that talked about how the tongue is untamable. You may remember that. We talked about how it is like a rudder on a ship and how this small instrument is able to turn the course of the entire ship. And similarly, our tongue can change the course of our life. He also likened it to the bit in a horse, that we can put this small metal piece in a horse's mouth, and then you can turn this huge animal with this tiny piece of metal, okay? And then he also likened it to a small fire, which can set a wildfire on blaze from this one small thing. And he said the tongue is never been tamed by anyone. Nobody has got it down pat that they're like, man, I always control what I say. I never struggle with this. And tonight, guys, I want to be really honest with you, okay? I don't say things that are your typical cuss word or things like that, but I do use a lot of things that switch out, like saying crap or things like that, or darn, right? Okay? We're going to talk about that tonight, and it may make you think about the way you speak. And I can tell you guys, this week I have been studying about this, but then I've also been like catching myself. Today I was in the office talking with Pastor Izzy, and somebody said something that was just shocking to me. They had never seen Lord of the Rings, and some of you may not have either, but I was like, what? And I'm in my office, he's in there, and I'm like, dang, you know? But here's the thing. What we're going to find is that using some other kind of word as a replacement still points to an issue that's going on, okay? So let's get into our study tonight. We're going to look in James chapter 3 right after what we had talked about 2 weeks ago, okay? Let's look in verse 9 of chapter 3. James says, "With it," so our tongue, "we bless our Lord and Father. And with it," the tongue, "we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives or grapevine produce figs, neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Okay? So he's talking here about the words that we use and how we can have this propensity or this inclination, this desire for us to come in on Sunday morning and lift our hands, or maybe you're super Baptist and you don't do that, but you sing and you're worshiping God, and then you come in on Wednesday night and you worship, and it's great to sing those words and praise God, but then the other days of the week, we're going out and we're talking about people and telling them where they can go and, you know, just telling people off and how awful they are. And he says, man, these things ought not to be so. This is not how this should be. All right? Our first point tonight is our choice of words reveals the condition of our heart. The words we choose to use, these different things that we choose to say, they reveal the condition of our heart. See, it's easy to tell what kind of plant something is once it's bearing the fruit. My wife and I have bought some stuff. We're making a garden this year. We're trying our hand at that. And we bought some, like, strawberry plants, and one of them's already shriveled up and died pretty much. And all that kind of thing. I'm not, like, an expert botanist, which is, like, someone who studies plants and things. But here's the thing. I can tell a cucumber plant when it's got a cucumber on it, right? Like, or I can tell, hey, that's an apple tree because it's covered in apples. Or if you, like, drive through Florida and you're going to Disney World or something and you look out the side and there's these trees with tons of oranges all over them, man, it does not take an expert to figure out those are orange trees, right? They're not apple trees. Apples and oranges, they're different, okay? Here's the thing. You can tell a plant by the fruit that it bears, okay? He says you can't find an olive tree that's bearing figs, or you can't find a fig tree bearing olives or a grapevine bearing figs. You can't also find a spring of water that is putting forth both fresh water and salt water. It's going to be one or the other, right? If we had taken that water, that which was sweet in some cups, right, and was salty in other cups, and we had poured it together, it all becomes salty, okay? Just like if a river pours water into the ocean, all that water becomes salty eventually because it is infected by what it's around, all right? I want to show you guys some pictures of another way that we can see what is revealed in a spring, right? Because a spring is water coming up out of the ground, and fresh water is a fresh spring, and then a salt water spring means that somewhere underground there's salt, and this water has come in contact with it, and it brings it along to the surface, all right? I want to show you these pictures. This is called geyser, okay? It is the one that all the other geysers are named after, okay? This is the original named geyser, okay, in Iceland. I love Iceland. I think it's, like, the coolest place. I'm hoping to get to go there in December with Megan. That's, like, something that we're really hoping for. But geyser, this is a hot water geyser. That's how they work. And what happens is the whole country of Iceland is basically made of volcanic rock, okay, where lava has come up out of deep in the earth and has come into contact with the water, and it has hardened into rock, okay? And once it does this tons and tons of times, it comes up, and then you have volcanoes which still come up out of that, and then you have where that hot rock underground is coming into contact with a place where water is, and it superheats that water, right? It gets really, really hot. And what happens is that creates a pressure, and it comes up to the surface, okay? It's less dense because of all the physics and things that you learn in school, okay? It's less dense, so it goes up. It less gravity and all this junk that happens. Well, it goes to the surface, and I'm going to show you another geyser here. This is the, like, five different stages. Check it out. So it creates this bulge where it's creating pressure, and then it explodes out, and it sends water all over the place, all right? These are famous geysers. Now, these are similar to what we have in Yellowstone Park, where you have Old Faithful, right? These are continual geysers where you can continue to see these things. One of them's like about every hour or so. The other one, I think, is like every 6 to 8 hours, something like that. Old Faithful is like every 8 minutes or something. So it happens a lot. Well, just imagine if this was like a person, and this was a visual representation where we could see what was going on deep underneath the surface of their heart, okay? That their words were coming into contact with some heat, and they were coming to the surface and exploding out, all right? Geysers like this are not the ones we want to be around, right? Like, those are not people that you want to be around, because you know they're going to explode all the time, and I don't want to be around when they explode hot, boiling water all over me, and I'm singed, okay? That is not a fun thing. That's not what I want to do. Well, in a similar way, the words we choose to use reveal the hot spot that is inside of us, the things that we're treasuring up inside and that we are holding on to, the things that we put into our mind and that we continue to expose ourselves to, they eventually come to the surface. They eventually become revealed. So we have to be careful with the things that we allow into our life, the people that we're surrounded by, the music, the movies, I mean, the jokes that you allow yourself to listen to, that you don't walk away from when you could, and that you continue going on a website and reading all these funny jokes, but they're really dirty, okay? And you're like, well, it's funny, and I laugh, and, you know, I enjoy it. Well, yes, okay, but those things that you put in eventually are going to come up to the surface, and they will explode out. And in a moment of weakness, that's when it tends to come out. Not when you're by yourself in your room and then you just accidentally slip up and say something dumb by yourself. It tends to be when you're angry at someone or something is not going your way and you are upset, and you can have this as your reaction. Not what people want to be around, right? And so what James says in this passage about we should not have where we're both cursing people and trying to bless the Lord, and we don't realize that these people are made in the same image of that God. We've got to respect people. We've got to love them correctly. And the words we use have got to be in line with what God has called us to. Our second point tonight is how we use God's name reveals what we truly believe about him. The way we use God's name, it reveals what we truly believe about him. All right, I want to do a test, okay?
I'm going to fail.
Prepared.
We're going to do the Ten Commandments test, all right? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say number, and then you say what you think it is, okay? Which commandment? So the first commandment, one.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
No, that's a good answer, but yes, okay? It's have no other gods before me, okay? Have no other gods before me. That's the first of the Ten Commandments. Jesus did say, love the Lord your God was the greatest commandment, okay? Not the first one in the Ten Commandments. Okay, number two. Anybody? Addie? Okay, don't make any graven image. So don't make a statue to worship. Don't make some kind of a picture or something that you worship. All right? And a lot of people have idols that they worship that they have made. And so, do what? Don't have a graven image, or do not create an idol to worship, okay? Now, the third commandment. Anyone not from FCS?
Oh, come on.
No. That's okay. That's okay. All right. What is it, Ben?
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Okay. So do not take the Lord. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. This commandment is a third one of four commandments that we have in the Ten about our relationship with God. The last six are about our relationship with our people. So the first four, we've got do not have any other gods before him, do not create an idol, do not take the name of the Lord in vain, and then do not remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Okay, these four things are in relation with God. And then after that, it gets into all the obey your parents or honor your parents in the Lord. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not covet. All of those kinds of things. Oh, I'm sorry. I said one of those twice. Okay. But he gets at this point that we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Okay. It says in Exodus chapter 20, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. All right, let's get into this a little bit because a lot of people don't know exactly what this means and what it's talking about here. And it's important because God says it as one of his 10 things that he gave to Moses, and he wrote it on stone tablets and gave it to him because these were 10 really important things. Now, one thing to know about God is his name is pretty special. Nowadays, we use names as a way to label people. That's Connor, that's Logan, that's Ian, that's Mariah, that's, you know, going through everybody, that's Ella, okay? Like, sorry, I pointed right at you and I was like, okay. But we say that as a label for who someone is, and it allows us to know when someone else is talking to us. The Jewish culture holds names a little differently because someone's name is who they are, okay? Remember when we talked about Ruth a little bit? Well, when Naomi comes back to Israel, Ruth's mother-in-law, she comes back, and her name had meant something like joyful or fulfilled or something like that. Well, when she comes back, they're like, hey, Naomi's back. She says, do not call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter, okay? Because it described who she was, okay? It described there was a change in her whole persona, that she had changed, that something had happened. Like, in a similar way, people have different names where Abram is renamed Abraham, okay? It has a different meaning. Jacob is named Israel. And so we have these different names that are changed throughout the scriptures to show a change that happens in them. Well, God reveals what his name is. And he says, my name is, and he says this, I'm not really good at Hebrew, okay? It's like Yahweh. And it means, I am who I am. It's a very special name because it doesn't just give a description of, I am a warrior, or I am love, or I am a judge, or something. He says, I am who I am. And this is an eternal name. It's a name that means, I am all things great. I am most powerful. There is no limit upon who I am. I am who I am. And it's amazing when he shares this and he says, that is who I am. I am who I am. So he reveals this to us and shows that he is great and mighty and that he is worthy as our creator. And, you know, parents get to choose the names for their kids, right? God names Adam. He says, you're Adam, because out of the ground I created you. Okay? It is a who he is. Nobody names God, though. God named himself because nobody was over him. There's no authority over him. There's no, you guys can just call me whatever you want to. No, he says, this is important because of who I am. I am who I am. He's great. And we, a lot of times, take the Lord's name and use it in ways that's not meant to be used. There's five different ways. I read a great post about this. I posted it on Facebook. If you have Facebook, you can go read it. If your parents have Facebook and you don't, ask them to go and look this up because it's a really great blog that was written about how the Lord's name is often taken in name. But he gave five different ways. One was speaking untruthfully about God and making him out to be something that he isn't. Second one was swearing or cursing. This could be using God's name flippantly with no reverence, just saying, oh my God, stuff like that. That's not a reverent use. I'm using this in a reverent way right now of correction, okay? But saying it as an expression of surprise or something like that, that's not a good thing to do, because it makes little of who God is. Also, we can use it in a bad way of tying his name on to damning someone, right? Okay? And to say something about that, you know what that actually is doing? It's saying, I tell God who he should send to hell. I'm in charge of God. God's not in charge of me. I tell him what to do. And that is an irreverent use of his name. So we can't be doing that, all right? Number three is trivializing his name. I bet you've seen the T-shirts. They have them at, like, Christian bookstores of all places a lot of times where it'll say something like, Jesus is my homie, right? Or this blood's for you, like making it out like Budweiser's this blood's for you, and they'll have a picture of Jesus and just making light of who he is with some little pun or something like that, and people think it's cute and funny and that somehow it's relevant. Well, it's actually kind of making light of who God is. Okay, another way is using God's name and attaching it onto your thing that you're doing and saying, now it's of God, okay? God told me to tell you to do this. Or like the Crusades, if you've ever heard about the Crusades, people said, in God's name, we will go and kill these people and drive them out of this city and take over this land. Well, guess what? If you actually have read the Bible, I don't think God said for us to do that. But they would tag God onto that to give them an authority for being able to do what they wanted. The Nazis did this too. They tagged God's name onto things and said that God had put Hitler in place and that these people were supreme, and this was all from God. They were working through the church in Germany to implement their own schemes and their own agendas. So do what?
Hitler even
said
that he was Christian, yet he treated Jews and everybody else.
Right. And that's getting back to the fruit as well, that you can tell a tree by its fruit. You can say this is an apple tree, but if it's bearing oranges, it's not an apple tree. It's not how it works, okay? The fifth thing is by hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when we say one thing and then we do a different. And if we call ourselves Christians, we're saying that I am like Christ, that I am not in his strength or power or in who he is as God, but rather that I am like Christ. I am found in Christ by my faith in him. And so now I have this standing before God where I am like Christ, that I am called a Christian. But then we'll go out and we'll live in a way that is not in according to what God has said. And that demeans who Christ is when we liken ourselves to be like him, but then we don't act actually truthfully like him. See, we've got to be careful in how we use God's name. Jesus said in how we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's saying your name is special. It is set apart in a way that is special and unique and amazing, and we're not going to just make light of it. We're not going to misuse it. Your name, God, is special. It's worthy of praise. Your name is great. Your name is beautiful. And to hold God's name, that when we refer, when we're talking about God, when we're talking about Jesus Christ, when we're talking about them, that we're not using it as some kind of a disgust where you cut your finger and you yell out Jesus' name. You better be calling on him when you use his name, because otherwise, you're making light of it. You're misusing his name that he has shown to us, all right? I had these five up here. If you wanted to write them down, I'll show you that as well, okay? So, did you have a question? All right, I'll give you a story. All right, when I was in college, I was on a ministry team called Youth Quest, and we traveled to different churches and spent weekends with students like you, doing a special retreat or something like that. Well, we had a game that we loved to play, okay, and it was called Mine, M-I-N-E, Mine. Okay, and here's how Mine works. Basically, if anybody says the word Mine, and you catch them saying it, then they have to get down and do 10 push-ups, just on the spot. The only place it didn't count was if you were on stage or something like that, or if it was dangerous, like, don't do it as we're trying to get onto a train or something like that. That would be dumb. But anywhere else, if we were sitting, eating food in the, you know, cafeteria or whatever, and you said, hey, whose shirt is this? Somebody said, oh, it's mine. You're like, 10 push-ups, all right? And so people would set up other people even and be like, hey, what's that game that you play where you're trying to, like, put flags and there's, like, numbers around it and you have to, you're avoiding these things. What are those things called? And they're like, oh, that's Minesweeper. And you're like, gotcha, okay? Like, they would do whatever they could to set you up to get it. Or they'd be like, hey, what are those things that they try to, like, dig into the ground to get coal out of and stuff? And you'd be like, oh, that's a mine shaft. Got them. Okay, like, they would do that all the time. And so what happens is after you've done, like, 80 push-ups or something, you start to avoid using that word because you are like, I'm not going to say mine ever again because I am tired of doing push-ups. This counts as on stage, okay? Chill. And we're not playing. If you want to be accountable, I'll hold you accountable too. So watch out. I'm really good at this game. All right? But here's the thing with the game. What you do is you realize in playing this game that there are other ways to do it. If I say, hey, whose shirt is this? You say, that's my shirt. See? I got around it. I got around it, okay? I didn't, yeah, that belongs to me. Where are those things that they drill into the ground? It's a shaft, yeah. It's a coal shaft, right? Like, you can do other things to express yourself, okay? Here's the thing. God's name is hallowed. It is holy. It is unique, okay? Is to be set apart. Now, what we're going to look at here on our next point, does everybody have those that wanted to write them down? Anybody not, if you are still working on it, raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to move on. Do what? five ways we take God's name in vain. Okay. All right. Our third point for tonight is the words we speak reveal the things with which we fill our heart and mind. Okay. The words we speak reveal the things with which we fill our heart and mind. Jesus gave this as a lesson for us. He says in Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. All right? And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Here's a little picture for you to help you. The kind person, okay, or the good person, as he said, the evil person, you can fill that in and change it on each level, okay? The such and such person, the good person, out of the goodness of the treasure in his heart, produces a good product. Or the evil person, okay, out of the evil treasure of his heart, produces evil. The things with which we fill our hearts and mind are revealed by the words we speak. They have a special power to reveal. So if you go and you're watching movies and music and you're surrounding yourself with people who are talking with dirty jokes, guys, this happens a ton, especially among guys. I was never a girl, obviously, so I don't know how bad it is among girls, but girls, y'all know people who talk about each other as well.
And
yeah, okay. Guys, I think, are just less ashamed in some ways to do it, and so they just do it all over the place. But the words we use reveal what we have been putting into our mind. So if you surround yourself with certain things, just like that geyser, eventually it's going to explode and come out. Those words are going to be said, and they're going to be said by you this time. Okay? Same way in the opposite way, Jesus says, though, because the good person out of the good treasure in his heart produces good. So if you're surrounding yourself with things that are good, whether it's listening to Christian music, reading God's word, reading books that help you to know God better or to do well at something you're interested in, you're surrounding yourself with friends who are good influences on you, guess what? The words you speak are going to be a testimony to what you have surrounded yourself with, and they're going to be good things. They're going to point others toward Christ. But if you don't, it's like taking that water that, man, you worked so hard to purify and clean, and then you're putting salt in there. You're putting salt in there. People are going to go, there's a little bit of saltiness in there. A little bit of saltiness in there. I don't know how much of that I necessarily wanted to drink. I don't know how much of that I want to be around, okay? It's good, but here's the thing. If our words are supposed to be fresh in the analogy and salty is not, we can't be saying, here I'll do this one thing and over here I'll do this other. Okay, because that's what James was getting at, is that the spring does not have fresh and salt water both coming from it. It's going to be one or the other. It's going to be one or the other. Because once you put the salt into the fresh, it no longer is fresh. It becomes the salty. Okay, so you've got to watch the things that you use as an influence in your life, because they will come out. They will come out. Now, here's when it gets back to the words that we use instead of other words, right? When we're using crap, or we're using darn, or dang, or things like that. We're using that, or I'm telling you guys, I have a hard time with this, and I'll let you call me out on it, but I want you to do it the right way, the same way that you would want me to call you out on something, okay? When you see me over to the side, I want you to say, hey, Pastor Scott, you said darn, or you said dang, or something. I just wanted to remind you, okay? I just wanted to remind you about what you said about the words we speak, okay? Because here's the thing. Correcting in private, right? That's how we do things. We correct in private. We praise in public. So if somebody does a great job and we're encouraging them, like we talked about last week, we're going to say, you're doing a great job. And there's no problem with saying that in front of as many people as there can be around. And you say, man, you are doing awesome. But if we're correcting someone, we do that over to the side. We don't go, hey, everybody, pay attention. Pastor Scott messed up. Check it out. And just like demeaning. And then I'm like crying to myself, okay? That's not how we correct each other, all right? Remember, do unto others as you would have them do to you, all right? We're supposed to speak truth in love, all right? So we've got to do the things that are right and do them in a loving way that helps actually create the change that is desired. So I'm going to tell you guys, this is a hard thing to do, to watch your language and make sure that you are being careful with the things you say. Because when you're doing that, you're being careful with the words and you're giving God the ownership of them. And that's another way that we can worship God in our words and how we're using that. And I think that when we have been careful with our words throughout the week, that when we are spending time of worship through praising God and music or something like that, that God is pleased in that because he sees that we're not trying to be this fresh and salty spring, but rather we're saying, God, more and more, I want you to cut the salt out of my life and allow me to spring forth fresh water that is, you know, refreshing to the people who get to hear the words that I say and that are around me. So, what kind of person would you fill yourself in with here? You know, the kind, am I the good person who's treasuring up good things and having a good product? Because if you look at the end of the line and you see, man, there's a lot of stuff and the words I use, it goes back up the line, okay? It goes back up to what kind of things we're treasuring up in our heart, and it goes back up ultimately to whether we have decided to follow Christ with our life and we've made him in charge, okay? Because if we make him in charge, and he says, be careful with your words. Use your words. Do not let any corrupting talk come out, but only what is good for building up and pleasing to God. Then we're going to be careful about them. We're going to be watching what we say, just like if there was some kind of consequence for saying mine or something like that. We're going to look out for it. And we're not going to just come up with silly other words which mean what we were saying, but rather we're actually going to change the heart on the inside. Okay? Because, like, if you ever watch the movie Elf,
what about Nemo?
Son of a nutcracker, right? Well, here's the thing. What it's really getting at, though, is showing that same heart, the same problem that exists. It's just using a different word, right? So, yeah. All right. So, here's the question I want you guys to think about tonight, okay? We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer here at the end, okay? What kinds of treasures are you filling your heart with? What are the people, the music, the movies, the books, the things that you're surrounding yourself with, okay? And what kinds of words are you allowing to come out? What does that speak of your heart, all right? I want us to take a little bit of time here. We're going to pray. As we close out tonight, I want you to think about these things. And on Sunday, we're going to talk about them, all right? Inside your journey group or your study guide for tonight, look at those questions, think about them, and actually, like, work on that this week, okay? Work on that, just like we said with encouragement. Actually go out and encourage somebody this week. Help them. Encourage somebody to do what is right and what is good, what is loving, okay? Work on these things. Work on the things that you're allowing to go in and be input into your mind. Let's pray and ask God to help us do that. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the correction it gives. And we know that in Christ we're able to have forgiveness for these places where we fall short, God. And we ask that you would show them to us, that we would be looking for how we can grow and how we can do what is right in our speech, that we would not be speaking words that are tearing someone down or cutting toward them, but rather things that would help to build them up, that would be encouraging, God. Help us to use your name in a way that your name is worthy, God, because we know that you are awesome and you are holy and set apart. And so, Lord, we ask that as we go out this week, that we would be extra careful in the way that we use it, that we would not use it in one of these ways to detract from how awesome you are, but rather that people would be amazed with who you are. And part of that would be through the words we use and how we describe you and talk about you, God. Thank you for this time together tonight. We ask that you would continue to be with us and learning and in fellowship, Lord. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.